I was talking with someone the other day, and I realized it just hit me. We were just having a casual conversation about something, and it hit me. We were talking about working out and diets, and getting older and all this kind of stuff. This guy eats pretty clean, fruits and vegetables, and doesn't eat a lot of takeout and stuff. But then, all diets have a cheat day, right? And what do you get to do on your cheat day? Yeah, you get to eat what you want, right? So here he is eating clean because it's healthy for his body. And we eat when we're on a diet or try to manage what we eat. We stay away from certain things that are bad. But then when you get a chance to do what you want to do, what do? You eat stuff that is going to destroy your body. We can't get away from the fact. It's amazing to me that when we get a chance to do what we want to do, it's self-destruction. Everybody on a diet that stays away from stuff, and this is what we were talking about, and then when they get to go eat something that they want, they go right after the stuff that's going to hurt them. That's the way we are. If we're given a chance to do what we want, with no restrictions, and that's what a cheat day is, then we eat all the stuff that we have been trying to stay away from. What do you think that does to us? That puts us right back to the beginning, because then we got to deal with all those cravings from all that grease and all that sugar. You wouldn't think your body craves grease until you see a piece of bacon laying there, right? Yeah. You can see the grease. When you pull the pizza away from the other pieces, you can see the grease on the box. Yeah, and when you can even see the little puddles of them on the pepperoni. And what do? You eat it. That's the best part. You shove that pizza way in your mouth so you can get that little puddle of grease on that pepperoni. Yeah, man, you love to destroy yourself. You love to destroy yourself. That's what we do. Because on a cheat day, no restrictions. So you are free to do what you want. And when I was talking, it just amazed me. A lot of people believe that now that we have become Christians, that we are, I can't even remember, free of temptation. They believe that we're sinless. They were no longer tempted by anything. And when we get a chance to do what we want to do, we prove that the first thing we want to do is run and give in to temptation. Right? How can we be free of temptation in something as simple as in the foods that we eat? And think that in our spiritual lives that God has given us the gift of a sinless life. We have a forgiven life. It is not a sinless life. And we are never free from temptation as long as we're in this flesh. Matthew 6:13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So my question was, when I started thinking about this, and this come from a conversation about eating pizza and the little grease and the French fries and the ice cream and all this stuff. What is temptation? Do you know what temptation is? See, we think we know what temptation is. It's one of those words when you really nail it down, what is it? Well, one thing's for sure is we want to know what God says temptation is. And so word studies are, and this isn't a word study thing, but it's just a definition of temptation coming from Scripture. It's New Testament 3986, which means to experiment, solicitation, examine, to pierce. Now, when you do 3986, there's different from this word. So you got to trace it down a little bit to put all those together. But this is what it means. Now, this wasn't what I thought it was going to mean. This is not what I thought temptation was going to say. But yet, this is what God says it is. And the first point that I had up there was, if we do indeed live a sinless life and we're no longer tempted, Why would Jesus ask those who follow him to pray this way? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, we lead a life of choices. That's what we teach our kids. My wife, when Lauren leaves or when our son left, going out or whatever, I notice it more with our daughter than I did with our son. And I don't know whether we learned because we had raised one kid and we learned some things that maybe we should be more united on, or things that we could have done a little bit different that would have been more helpful. But she's like, make good choices. Make good choices. Right, you're out there. There's no one there with you. You got to make good choices. And that goes for everyone, not just the children. But that's what she says, make good choices. We lead a life of choices. And in those choices, sometimes we find temptation. It is a damnable doctrine for people to tell you that you are no longer tempted, that God has freed you from temptation. And this is a widespread teaching out there, that once you become a Christian, you do not have to worry about temptation. You do not have to worry about falling. And when you think that way, you don't pay attention to the things that are around you. 1 John 2:15 through 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Some verses are easy to read, but hard to know how to put these things into practice. This one used to kind of screw me up a little bit, just twist my head around, and I just didn't quite understand what all was talking about in the world. But he says there, and I missed it, it was the flesh. You see, I'm having a hard time understanding the difference between the flesh and the spirit. You would think with all that is written, this would be an easy topic. Easy to understand, hard to live it out. You've got to realize that within you, there is a real war going on between what your flesh wants, that little pocket of grease on the, the chocolate chip cookies when you break them open, and then the chocolate just strings from one to the other. It's just hot and delicious, and there's milk in the refrigerator, You got to see the difference between your flesh wanting something and your spirit wanting something. They're not the same. They're not the same. We can't put these two together, yet they are together. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. Yet the two of them are together. And so when you think about it like that, you can understand, when you really start trying to understand how we're going to work this out, why it's hard to understand the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Is it when you think about God, is it in the spirit? When you think about the pizzas and money and stuff, that's in the flesh, right? No. You don't think people of God had to deal about money? And when they thought in the money, they could only make decisions in the flesh? That's a ridiculous thought. Husband and wife, two people dealing with each other in the flesh. You don't think that they have to be spiritual? You see where I'm coming from? It's hard for me to understand what's the difference, how to really live this out. Because this is what God says we have to do. We have to make these two things work in our life. I just don't want to say I understand. I want to understand how to make these two work. And I can guarantee you this, is that this sermon is not going to tell you how to do that. It's only going to be a starting point. Because we have to learn to think different. Do you think that there's two people inside of you? You and the Holy Spirit. And I've already shown you, just in something as simple as what we put in our mouth, when we're given the chance to do what we want, we choose self-destruction. Self-destruction. You have a house, you've got bills, and then you get your little check from the government, right? The stimulus check, the COVID check, or the whatever they called it. Did you take that money and pay a bill? Or did you go out and be reckless with it and go buy a TV or some new shoes or just have fun with it, right? Hey, either way, it was your money. You could do what you want. But you see what I'm talking about? We would never be in debt if we had, when we got the money, if we would turn around and pay off that debt. But that's not what we do, is it? We get a little extra money. Instead of putting a little bit extra on the card, we go out and buy ourselves a little extra something. Huh? We're reckless. And it's not us that's necessarily reckless. It's the flesh that's reckless. And the flesh and the spirit live together. How do we make this work? Sex traffickers do not tempt their prey with a life of pleasure, but with something simple. My point is that the sin does not give you the end result. That's not the temptation. The temptation is the something different. It's in the beginning. It's something simple that causes you to look the other way. I want to understand the simple. You see, what God is trying to show us is not hard. Follow me, and you will stay out of you. Your life will stay in a path that is less destructive than it has been up till now. Correct? That's what he says. He says, I'm the light of the world. Follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus. A simple thing to ask, isn't it? Hard to do, isn't it? We got to start with the simple that the devil uses to get our minds to turn the other way. It's not where we, it's the end result is not ever where we start off with. The devil doesn't have a retirement plan. God does. A life of service lived to God will be rewarded. A life of service lived to the devil will not be rewarded. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Here's where it started. And it's the word that I missed in 1 John as I was trying to put that together over the years. And you know, I don't always go home and read one verse every day of my life and say, I can't figure this out, and shut the Bible and move on. But as you read different passages and you move on, and it's amazing, when you come back to a passage that used to be kind of hard for you, you've learned a little bit, and it seems to be a little bit easier for you to know what he's talking about. One builds off the other. The problem we have now is the flesh that we live in now was not in the beginning, nor will it be in the finalization. This flesh is only for this world. It was not in the beginning in the garden. Our flesh fell. We had a spiritual body, which Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said flesh and bone. Blood is the life source that we have now. In the very beginning, that was not the case. In the very beginning. So the flesh that we have now is the flesh that is only for this world. And the problem is the way that we're thinking is that we're not understanding that the needs and the sufferings and the temptations of this flesh is only temporary. If you're hungry, are you going to die? Not one time. You go to bed, hungry, you wake up, you get something to eat. It's temporary. We push our bodies every day, and some push to extremes. And this makes us stronger in certain areas. And by doing this, we do not fail so easily. So our mind is if we want to survive, and we want to go through trials and tribulations and tests is that we make our bodies strong. How much has that helped? I look at people like, those old books that I used to read with the bodybuilding stuff, the weightlifting stuff. It was Arnold, but there was a guy, Frank. I can't remember his name. I believe he was Italian. I'm not sure, but Arnold still kind of looks like Arnold, right? When you see him, he's still got some muscle and you know, but the guy that he was with, that he worked out with a lot, I can't remember his last name. I saw him. He was kind of like in a retirement type home. He looked like a shell of a man. You see, no matter how much we put into this body, everything is only temporary. But based on the way that we live, we don't think it that way, do we? Now, it changes as we get older. We kind of change the way we think. And that's why you see a lot of older people when they're out walking and they got socks up to their knees with the, you know, and they got their sliders on and whatever else they choose to wear, because they're going to be comfortable. They're out meandering through the neighborhood. They're walking to try to hold on to life, and they're going to be comfortable while they're doing it. And they could care less what you think. Truly care less, because they are going to be comfortable. And I have lived a life of basics my entire life until all of a sudden I put on something that was soft. And I was like, hey, this is nice. It's warm and kind of snuggly. I kind of like this. I understand. But that's in the flesh. And as we get older, our mindset changes. But this right here, the flesh that we live in now, wasn't at the beginning or the finalization. But our spirit, the same spirit that we have, was there and will be in the finalization. It will be raised. Who we are will be raised. So, which is more important in this fight, in this war that we have? Our spirit or the flesh? That's where sin comes through, the flesh. Right. But I mean, Christ came in the flesh. So we have to be careful to say He walked in the flesh, yet He was sinless. But the reason His flesh was sinless was because He didn't allow the flesh to have control of the spirit. We do. We do because we want to. The simple things. And that's where the devil attacks us. We have to understand the fight that we're in starts right here. We make ourselves and work with the flesh and do all of this stuff. But when we do that, what does that lead into? Remember the stupid sex trafficker thing I put up here? They don't lure the people in to the end result. They start off with something simple, a life of ease, a life of being taken care of, a life of you're on the streets and you know, you got a place. They start off with something simple. And so when we're doing these things to our bodies, pushing ourselves to the extremes to make ourselves stronger for ourselves, for our family, for our jobs, all of these things. But once we've done that, what does that lead into? Anybody know? Let's look at the word temptation again. An experiment, solicitation, examine. When you change where you're at and change your body, it gives you more choices. Puts you in a different place, does it not? And some things you will try. This will come together hopefully at the end, but some of these things you're going to try, and some things you may find yourself in, and they don't appear to be temptation. But they are, because they're all working through the flesh. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward." Now, I've got a concordance on my phone, and it, for the iPhone, it's an awesome concordance. So I tried to look up merely. Well, when you look up, this is the New King James, but when you look up with a concordance, it typically goes off the King James, and I couldn't find the word that fit with merely. Okay? So I just looked up the definition of merely. I thought, well, I'll figure this out. It means nothing more. Do not let your adornment be only outward. Arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel. This is talking to women. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. A woman can do amazing things with her face. She fixes her hair. She puts on her makeup and she does something to her eyes, right? She puts some lipstick on, and then all of a sudden, it's like the sun rises when she walks in the room, because she has adorned her face and it shines like the sun. You can't seem to take your eyes off of it at times. Women can do amazing things with their face. God didn't say there was anything wrong with making yourself up. Fixing your hair, making it pretty, huh? Putting on a little whatever you do. I watch my wife, man. She's like, all right, let's go. You know? She won't go out of the house without fixing herself up. Yeah, it's war paint. No, I was going to say, but now I've noticed that, like, we'll wake up on Saturday morning. So let's go down to the Waffle House. And she's like, all right. And I'm like, come on, can we just go? And she'll get up and she'll just get dressed and we'll go. But most of the time, she's like, there is no excuse for looking like this, and I'm going to put on some makeup. And so she's done. And it's just amazing, right? She's beautiful either way. I don't care. But she puts on this stuff. And see, God says He don't have a problem with that. He said the word merely. Do not let that be your only beauty. He wants you to understand that who you really are is more beautiful than the way that you would look on the outside. He's telling you that the man is going to fall in love with who you really are. But the face painted up and stuff, that's the lure, right? That's to get him in. And you think, hey, I'm not just picking on the girls. I'm going to do the guys here in a minute, okay? But when she does this, okay, remember what we were talking about before about the temptation and trying and getting yourself there? What kind of trouble can a beautiful woman get herself into among the world of men? About anything she wants, I reckon. Before that you did all of that, and after you've done all this, what is the difference in the attention that comes? Ah, see? What are you talking about? Everybody likes to be noticed, but be careful when you're noticed. Be careful, because it can lead into other things. God doesn't have a problem with this. I promise you, it'll come together. God doesn't have a problem with fixing ourselves up. He says that. Do not let it be merely outward. Matthew 5:28, he's talking to women. He says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I can tell you one thing. When I look at you, you don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not always thinking the same thing when I look at you. And you're probably not always thinking the same thing when you look at me. Sometimes you might look at me and you're happy. Sometimes you might look at me and you're a little mad at me. Right? See? You don't know what I'm thinking when I look at you. And God says that for the way that a man looks at a woman, he needs to be very careful. I think that sometimes we're taken back by things. But we have to keep those in perspective. Because God is telling us here, be very careful how you look at that woman, how you start thinking about that woman, because it will lead into temptation. Do we see that? Now there's something else here. Are you putting this together? Do you see how these two simple things go hand in hand and they build off of each other? Man is out just walking around and the woman he didn't even know was in there and she fixed herself up and sparkling when she walks around the corner. And all of a sudden, he sees her and she sees him. You see how these two simple things created a temptation? That's what I'm talking about. Simple things that God has said. You have flesh, you take care of that flesh. But understand that that is not all that you are. The simple things. Here's two people that were just... these are nowhere close in the Bible. They're not even talking about the exact same thing. But can you see how these two build off of one another? It's not the adornment merely. See, he said, "Don't." It's not just about the adornment. And it's not the look, right? It's normal, huh? I'm looking at you, right? You're looking at me, huh? That's not the problem. You've got makeup on. I can see y'all have makeup on this morning. I did something with my hair. I'm clean. My clothes are, I would say pressed, but we don't press our clothes. We hang them up and throw them in a dryer and hang them up. You're reading it up here. It's everything taking it a step farther. You see how this comes together? The simple things that we find ourselves in. We decide to take them a step farther. Do we see how one that was not a temptation suddenly became a temptation because we chose to take it a step farther? Hey, you're on a diet and you want to eat some pizza, that's fine. You don't have to eat the whole thing. Or you don't have to have the pizza and keep it in the refrigerator and go back the next day and the next day, or eat it all day long. Do it once, be done with it, and go on. That's not how we think. We want to go back to it, right? I'm a little hungry. I got the pizza in the refrigerator. Huh? I got that Chinese leftover. And with great joy, you're trembling going back in there because you want to go back to it. You've taken it a step farther. Not just a cheat meal anymore, right? It becomes a cheat day. And if you're not careful, it becomes a cheat weekend. And heaven forbid, if you should wake up Monday morning and have a piece of candy that you're not supposed to, then you've done doomed the whole week, right? See? We love going back to it. That's what taking it a step farther means. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. I wanted to put it in a context that kind of took it away from not really sex, but just physical things of the body. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and into a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. People will tell you that money is the root of all evil. They are lying to you. God did not say money was the root of all evil. What did He say? The love of money. That's taking it a step farther. You know, you see how that works? I'm not saying that you can't, gosh, like I'm contradicting myself. We all love money. We love to see our paychecks grow, don't we? Got a bonus or they didn't take out for union dues or something. They're like, oh, I forgot, man, I got more money. You know, you find $20 in your pocket when you're doing the laundry. Wow, you're like, oh, I got money. Nobody knows about it. Huh? You see? We like money. We almost love money. But this right here is taking it a step farther. And there's a word here that I didn't highlight. Do y'all see which one it was? Do y'all know which one it is? We've read it because we've read it in the definition of temptation, which means to kind of try new stuff, experiment new things. And yes, good job. Pierced. Temptation, experiment, solicitation, examine, to pierce. I think I got this up here, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You do what you want. You give yourself a cheat day in any way that you want. Right? Examine, experiment with this. But whatever you do, God sees it as though you are piercing yourself because you are asking for trouble. This will stay with you. Do you see what I'm saying? When we carry it a step farther, we've pierced ourselves and we can't really go back to the way it was. We can't get the mindset of the naiveness of a child any longer because we've matured and we see the world in a different way. The world has pierced us and we've allowed that to some degree. Because in our life, we have taken things a step farther. No matter which direction we go, no matter what we try, there will be an outcome, good or bad. And Scripture here calls this a piercing. Here it says that when people let the love of money become their God, become the thing that they wanted the most, and they give themselves a free pass in life when it came to money. You know, do what you got to do to make the money that while you can make it and get all that you can. It says it's the root of all kinds of evil. And it says some, they actually stray from the faith because the money produces greediness in them. We all have money, right? We all have a little bit of money that we could go out and get ourselves something nice that we want, whether if it's just a burger or maybe a new pair of shoes, some nice warm socks for the winter that's coming up. My daughter, she's got like 10 blankets. You know what she bought yesterday? A blanket. A fuzzy, soft blanket. And when she sleeps in her bed, she's surrounded by all this fuzzy stuff. And she has on a fuzzy hoodie with the hoodie pulled up when she's sleeping with all this stuff. I call it Fuzzy Land. It's time to get out of Fuzzy Land. She is pampered like sleeping on a cloud, and she loves it. See, we all have the money to go do some things that we want to do. It's not piercing us. You see, it's not the love of the money that we're going to keep taking a step further. We all have money and we all like the money that we have. We get our paycheck, we pay our bills, there's a little bit left over, and we like that, right? Nobody likes to pay their bills and not have anything left over. We all like that little bit of money left over, right? And what are we going to do with that little bit of money? What we want, right? That's not piercing yourself. When we take things a step farther, and these are all simple things that the devil comes at us with. Look at the results of what you're trying to accomplish and judge by Scripture which direction it's all heading. The more that you adorn yourself, the more that we are going to look. And the more that we push our bodies, the more that you're going to look. The harder we work, the more money we're going to make. But the more time that we spend away from our family, the more temptation there is for loneliness to set in, wanting somebody to fill that void that you've created because you're going out to make all that money. You're never home. She didn't marry a checkbook. She married a man to take care of her. She wants that man in her home, at her table, in her bed, on the couch beside her. The love of money can't be the reason that you destroy your family, because the temptation there is that not that she wants someone else, or if it's the other way around and it's the man, not that he wants someone else, he's lonely. Last time I checked, loneliness isn't a sin, is it? The simple things in life that lead to one another. And so you have to look at what you're doing and what fruit it's producing and what direction you're going in your life. Is it worth all that you're putting into it? Is that paycheck? Is that bonus? Is that body? Is that, are those clothes? Are they all worth? Because all of these things lead to something else. Do they not? Did you ever think temptation was as simple as, I work hard for my family? And temptation is what's left behind and gaps and voids that need to be filled. And if we're honest with ourselves, we create some of those. I know, I used to work on the road all the time. All the time. And I thought that I was doing right for my family until I realized when it was too late that I wasn't. That there was a better way to take care of my family. But I've been pierced because of that, and I have to deal with the outcome. Temptation isn't always what we think it is. Do you remember when we were reading and we started this off? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Temptation sneaks up. Temptation is the softest, sweetest sound that you'll ever hear. And you don't initially run from it. You simply build on it. So be careful. Paul's told us before, be careful how we build. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up, he built on one simple fact. One. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He spent his beginning of his sermon talking about who Jesus was. When the knowledge of that was understood, he gave them something else to build on. How you solve the problem that you killed the one that came to save you. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He tells you this is a promise from God. Many will tell you that that's not the way that you find salvation. We can't build on a lie in our life. We can't build on our lie in Scripture. We have to build on the truth. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?